Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian, and intuitive eating counselor. And today I have on the podcast Bonnie Giller, who is a fellow dietitian, intuitive eating dietitian. And her story is awesome because she is a few years older than me, and she's been a dietitian way longer than I have been. And her career actually started as a weight loss dietitian. And then, you know, a lot of people have that cognitive dissonance of working and trying to help people lose weight and it not working and feeling really bad that your, you know, clients feel so bad about themselves, and finally coming to intuitive eating and practicing from that approach and taking really a leap of faith when your practice is going well one way and then just not being aligned with who you are and going in a whole different direction. So her story is fascinating. I've known her for a while, and I know that was like the basic story. She was a weight loss dietitian and now she's an intuitive eating dietitian. But just to hear like how it all happened, and I don't think she's unique in the sense that she was a weight loss dietitian and then she switched. But because I think, like I said before, it's like there's so much cognitive dissonance, but it's just so fascinating to hear the whole story and how many years you could be in weight loss. And it's so hard to make a change like that. And I myself like was a mainstream dietitian for just a few months or years, and all my years in schooling, and there's always that like voice in my head that's like, this is very like shaming. So I think that this episode really highlights that, and it's a fascinating story and it was really interesting. So I hope you'll enjoy this episode. If you want to hear more podcasts like this, you could go to anywhere you listen to podcasts. You could also watch a lot of these episodes on my website at gilaglassberg.com, and you can now purchase other webinars that I have done on either feeding your children or getting ready for holidays or busy times. And I am now announcing that on July 17th at 12 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be doing a webinar on dispelling dieting myths and why dieting doesn't work and the science of it and the mechanisms behind it. And you're more than welcome to come on and ask any of your questions, and I'm going to answer. I'm just going to speak about a lot of the usual questions that come up about this diet and that diet and why it doesn't work or how it doesn't work and are you sure it doesn't work and all those things. And I hope that you will join. You could sign up at my website, gilaglassberg.com. And there is another thing in the making. I am working on a cookbook. It's an e-cookbook. I already have all my recipes written, but now I'm working on testing them and taking pictures of them. And if you want to be a part of that, you're more than welcome to email me at gila@gilaglassberg.com if you want to test the recipe or take a picture of a recipe, or even if you have some food lying around and you want to make it into a recipe. I would love to hear from you. So again, gila@gilaglassberg.com. And without further ado, enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. I know you're going to love the content here because you will gain inspiration, powerful tools and insights, and valuable knowledge. If you want more of this, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or visit me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. I'm Gila Glassberg, a registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. I have come to realize by counseling many, many women that this work is much deeper and greater than food and body image. It's the bigger picture challenges we face of love, belonging, acceptance, what our true values and goals are, noticing them, addressing them, and gaining skills to move forward. If you have been struggling with what your life's purpose is, or you just feel stuck in general and don't know what's holding you back, this podcast will enlighten and inspire you to take action and move forward. This podcast is about other women in the 21st century who feel that losing weight will fix all their problems or somehow meet their unmet needs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. And today I have on Bonnie Giller. Hi, Bonnie. How are you?
Hi, Gila. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And Bonnie is a fellow dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. So that's always fun to have somebody on who really gets it. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Where do you live and what are you currently doing?
Oh, sure. So I live in New York, Long Island, New York. Actually, we're sort of kind of neighbors.
Yeah.
I grew up where you live now. So, and I'm in private practice now over 35 years, which is so hard to say the number, to be honest. It's like, what? It's in the face. Where did all the years go? I started out with an offline practice before the internet was even a thing. And then as more on businesses came online, I also brought my practice online. So now I see clients virtually, as well as, well, everything is virtual. Thanks to COVID, even my offline practice is now virtual. So I see clients, and I do medical nutrition therapy as well as intuitive eating counseling, and recovering from dieting. And I'm sure we'll get into all of that. But that's where I'm located.
Definitely. Okay, well, when you said 35 years, I feel jealous because I'm like, I only have my little 8 years and I'm always like, I can't wait till I'm like really experienced, you know?
Just me. The time goes really, really quickly. I know.
So I've heard, yeah. I mean, even just saying 8 years feels lo like long. Like I'm like, I have so much experience, but 35 years is, wow, that's a lot of
I'll
experience.
never forget, in my early years as a dietitian, I used to go to a lot of networking events, and there was one particular RD in the room like all the time at all the events. And I remember at the time she says that she's in business for 10 years. And I sat there, I'm like, wow, 10 years, you know, like that is so long. And here I am, like over 35. It's really a 36 plus at this point, but yeah.
That's amazing. It's really amazing. So, did you always know that you wanted to be a dietitian?
No. That is such a great question. The answer is no. I had no clue. When I started college, actually, it's a really funny story because this was back in the day where we didn't have computerized registration. So we had this big, I don't think you would remember those days, but we had to go out to campus on registration day. We had this big book where we opened, and it was like, you know, classes and time slots and the whole thing. And I had one slot in my schedule that I couldn't fill. Like, I had no idea what to fill it with. So I said, I'm just going to close my eyes, and whatever my finger lands on, that's the class I'm taking if it fits into the slot. And literally, all I had to do was one swirl like this, put my finger down, and it was a course that fit the time slot. I took it, and it happened to have been in the food and nutrition department.
Really? That
And
is
I'm like,
cool.
okay, it wasn't a nutrition course per se. It was like an institutional management type of learning food production course. But I was like, okay, I'm going to take it. I actually found it fascinating. And after that semester, I actually think that was my first, now I'm trying to remember, my first or second semester. And then I said, let me see what this department actually offers. And then I said, nutrition, that is so interesting. And that's when I started taking a nutrition for non-majors course, really enjoyed it. And then I declared my major. And actually, when I was first going through my years in college, I actually did not go the RD route. They had different tracks at the time. I went more the business route for like PR, and I actually did some interning in public relations firms and wrote press releases and did the whole food photography, food styling experiences. Only to then, and then my mother would like, I always hear my mom, and she'd say, but Bonnie, one day you're going to get married, you're going to have children, you know, you're going to maybe want to work part-time, try to maybe pursue the RD, you'll have more flexibility. And after graduating, only to find out mom was right. So when I was going for my master's, I actually went back and did some undergrad courses to fulfill the RD track as well.
So, where did you go to college, could I ask?
Sure, I went to Queens College.
Same as me. Yeah, that's really funny because I remember when I went to that department, they were like, don't become an RD because it's way too hard and it's way too competitive. It's like one of those like mysterious fields even now, you know what I mean? Like no one really knows like what
No
an
one really
RD
knows.
is and what we do and what we don't do and what we should do. And so tell me a little bit about your relationship with food as a kid. Did you have any negative relationship with food? Is that why it sparked your interest, or you were part of, like you were neutral?
I was really neutral about it. I mean, it didn't. I mean, okay, so going into college, like I said, I had no clue that's what I wanted to do until I started to explore what the field offered. And I was very interested in it. But as far as what I witnessed growing up, I did witness my mom diet a lot. You know, she after she had all we there's me and I have two brothers, and after the children were born, that's one of the things she was constantly, quote unquote, battling. And you know, I look at pictures and I'm like, my, you look great, you know, but she would always go to the one famous diet, which, you know, doesn't matter which one, but over and over and over again. And it didn't necessarily cause me to have a negative relationship with food, but I guess it did plant a seed or two about, well, how should a woman's body, quote unquote, look, right? And As I was like getting into the teen years, and then I was hanging out with friends and then starting to date, it was a little bit of pressure, like, oh, maybe I want to lose a few pounds. And then I would compare myself to others. And I remember very distinctly, like, my best friend at the time and I, we were going shopping. We were going on like a spring break vacation, and we were going shopping for bathing suits. And her mom took us. And I remember being in the fitting room, and I was like, oh, she looks so much better than I do in this bathing suit. We were buying like the same bathing suits to kind of twin. And it was like such a horrible experience. So there was that. So I dabbled in a couple of diets, and you know, the crazy diets, you know, the grapefruit diet, or the, you know, the eat minimally kind of thing. Ultimately, they never really worked, right? But then once I started learning about nutrition, and you know, going through the process, it was like it settled out. Like, it did settle out. I will say that I went after high school. I went to spend a year in Israel, like so many of us. I'm sure you did as well. And I remember I thought to myself, well, I do not want to gain a lot of weight when I go study abroad, because I would witness when girls would come home prior to my year, or like my older brother, he would come home, we'd go to the airport, and it wasn't the security like there is today. So we can go like right up to them walking off of the plane. And then you'd hear people say, oh, look how much weight she gained, and look how much weight she gained. And that had such a lasting impression on me. And so when I was away for the year, I really was watching myself. And I think back now to the like how I ate when I was away. It was just unfortunate. And I came home, I did lose a lot of weight. And at the time, my parents were very worried, and like, okay, you have an eating disorder, we're going to go to a doctor. And I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And then I went to school, to college, and then I got into nutrition, and thankfully things settled out. You know, I regained some weight, and I started to have a really like just a normalized relationship with food at that point.
You probably have the opposite of most people, because when you went to school, it sounds like you learned like actual nutrition and it settled your mind in terms of like that strict restricting that could actually lead to an eating disorder. But you got like the real, I'm sure it was less diety then, I'm assuming, the
Well,
information.
you know, I would say yes and no. There wasn't the emphasis like there is today with like diet culture. I don't even think that was a word, a phraseology back in my day, to be honest with you. You know, but what I did learn in school, everything was from a weight-centered approach. So, as a registered dietitian, if somebody's coming to you for diabetes, make sure you restrict their calories, they lose weight, how many servings they should eat from this group, blah, blah, blah. If someone had heart disease, so it doesn't matter. Everything was on weight and calories. And so that is how I learned. And so that was, and you know, full transparency, when I got out of school, and then I went on to pursue my master's, and then I went on to do my dietetic internship to become an RD. I practiced from a weight-centered approach for years, because this was before intuitive eating was even a thing.
So actually, I want to go back for a second before we talk about getting your RZ, but you said you were doing like some PR work and food styling. Did you like that? Like, did you see a future in that?
I really found it fascinating. So the answer is yes, I did enjoy it. But I also saw the lifestyle of the women in particular who I was working with at the PR agency. And there was you know, business trips, and there was crazy deadlines, and working all hours of the night to hit the deadlines. And that's when, you know, my mom's words were ringing in my ears: you're going to want to be a mom one day, and that's going to be a tough lifestyle. And she was right, because I realized it at that point that I do enjoy this a lot, but family is a big thing for me. Like, I do want to get married, I do want to have children, and this is probably not going to be the best lifestyle for me in that regard.
So, like a practical, choice to go back to get your RD, and yeah, like now we know how important it is to have your RD, and I guess even then it was like you really want to have the correct credential to work in the field.
Right. And so when I went for my master's, I will tell you, I originally started out, I was I graduated college, I got a job, And I got a job in the business field, not much related to nutrition, but more to customer service with some food products and things. But I wanted to pursue my master's, and I started out at NYU with the master's in business and nutrition.
Cool.
And it was only then that I was married by then. I was pregnant with my first, and then I stopped working when I gave birth, and then said, okay, I'm not going to travel into the city anymore. It was difficult. And I see that this is going to be a real challenge because, this is one child that I knew I was hopefully going to have more. So that's when I switched and I went back. I switched my master's to be in clinical nutrition. And then I switched my track. I went back to take my RD course, the courses to be able to RD that I missed when I was in college.
Got it.
Yeah, this
And
is like 35 years ago. I'm trying to kind of remember, like, what am I doing?
then no, it's actually, I actually said before we started recording, like, I just love to hear people's like journeys to where they are today, because like you never would have thought like this took you to this and this took you to that. Even like when you were practicing from a weight-centric place, I'm sure you never thought you would end up switching to something else, you know?
That's true. That is so true. I had heard about the anti-diet way for a while before I made the transition of my practice, but I could not wrap my head around, well, how am I supposed to meet with clients and patients and not give them a meal plan and not encourage weight loss? Like, I don't get how to do that. So it was for a few years at least before I was able to really figure that out.
Yeah, totally. So when you became an RD, did you start your private practice right away, or were you working somewhere else?
Yes, so I graduated with my master's. I took a job in a weight loss center because that was what we did back
No,
then.
that makes sense. You know, no judgment. That's how you
Right. Yeah,
learn.
yeah, yeah. And I'm going back now, right? This was before I took the RD exam because I still had to do the dietetic internship. Back then, I needed to have a master's under my belt before I was eligible for an internship. So I had a little apartment, a one bedroom apartment, and a big living room. I had sectioned off an area of my living room for my baby's, like a room for him. And then the other end of it, I created a little office. And I was not an RD at the time, but I had graduated, I had my degrees, and I started doing weight loss counseling out of my apartment. I would not do nutrition therapy for diseases or anything like that at the time. And I remember, I was working at the weight loss center, but I was doing this like at night or on Sundays. And I would tell my husband, like, you need to stay in the bedroom with the baby when I'm working. And there would be hours he would be stuck in the bedroom with the baby and couldn't go to the bathroom, which was, if he came out and go to the bathroom, that the client would see him, So
I've been there.
it's fun to go back to those early years. I'm like, this is what we did. Wow. And I had a waiting list. I had a waiting list because everybody wants to lose weight. And so then that's what, so
That's
then
what
I'm,
sells, unfortunately. That's what
yeah.
sells.
So then I which is, yeah, so true. And then I was working at this weight loss center. I didn't last there more than 3 weeks, really, because I was trained to pretty much be a saleswoman. That's one thing, but also to yell at the clients because you want them to be good. You want the results, so you gotta yell at them. I always describe it as I felt like I was a warden to them because I was saying what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and how dare you, and how could you, and it was horrible. And I remember every night I'd come and cry, and I'd say to myself, I can't do this. That's not why I went to school to learn nutrition. Like, this is not nutrition education. This is nothing like that. And I ended up leaving that job, and I continued on my own with my private practice, and then did my internship program, and then continued with my private practice as I was in my internship program. But then when I graduated from that and became an RD, I expanded my practice to now treat individuals that have medical issues and such. I was still working from a weight-centered approach in those days. But I kind of just extended like the whom I would work with, or while working at, I was a dietitian at a hospital. I took a clinical position at a hospital as well. I was doing both things, and over time, I was promoted to the clinical nutrition manager, which is the chief dietitian at the hospital, and still doing my practice. And then eventually, after my, must have been, let me think, my third child was born, I said, okay, can't do this anymore. I can't do it all. And I ended up leaving the hospital position, but I was working for a corporation, not the hospital per se, and they didn't really want me to leave the corporation. So I went for a position as the director of their dietetic internship program.
Oh,
And
cool.
yeah, so I was the director of their internship program for about 10 years while I was still doing my private practice. And I loved it because I was mentoring, soon to be RDs, and I did some traveling around. I did lecturing. It was fantastic. But also at some point, I was like, this is just not a part-time job like they promised me. I had a good friend that unfortunately passed away from cancer, which hit me hard. And I said, she's leaving four children behind. Like, what am I doing? Letting my husband raise my children and not being around for them. And then eventually I left the dietetic internship program and I opened a second private practice office. And so I had two offices that I was then running, yeah, full time at that point.
Okay, so first of all, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. That's so hard. And also, yeah, sometimes like the death of someone else really hits us in terms of like how we're living our life. So I totally get that. But also kudos to you about that, leaving the weight loss position, like the weight loss management position where you said you had to be like screaming at the patients and stuff. Like I think if anything, like dietitians like you, like who go through this, it when you hear about intuitive eating, it kind of clicks because it's like we're obviously not meant to shame people into weight loss. Like we're not meant to shame people into like behavior change. Although like dieting kind of sells that for some reason, we like don't mind screaming at people about what they're eating, you know? Even though we know like screaming at people to change, motivate them for change doesn't even work. But for some reason, like, you know, in the dieting field, it does. We think it does, even though it totally does not and has like really the opposite effect. And yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned that your mom really wanted you to get the RD, so you had that flexibility, but I guess you're like you have that like workaholic in you in a good way that you just like and you were passionate about the field. So when things came your way, also now there's so many more dietitians, then you probably had a little bit more of a monopoly on the private practice or jobs, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's no question about it. Now there's it's a crowded niche, but I'm happy for it, because we're so needed.
Totally. So, okay, so you were working in the field of I guess you said weight management, but also medical nutrition therapy. Like I guess you were treating diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, things like that. I don't know, were you treating Crohn's? Were you treating
I
renal
did
disease?
everything. In
Everything.
my younger years, I would treat, you called me, I have this. Yes, I can help you. Yes, I can help you. And it was a way to build my reputation, to build my practice. I did start to specialize in diabetes, and so I did study and take the exam. I became a certified diabetes educator, which now they've changed the terminology to make it just a mouthful. It's certified diabetes care and education specialist. But in any event, I did have a passion for helping people with diabetes. As I was growing up, I saw my grandfather had diabetes, and I remember like he'd come to my house, for holidays and for weekends or just whenever, and my mom would cook, and when I'd help her serve, this is for grandpa, this is for everybody else. And I remember even at that young age, it was like, wow, I feel bad for grandpa. He can't eat what everybody else is eating. Although he did not seem to mind, it bothered me a lot. And I'm like, I want to go into diabetes. I want to really learn about it so I can help educate people so that they don't feel that deprivation, and they really understand how can they eat foods they still enjoy and love while managing their blood sugars?
Yeah, diabetes like education is so important, and to have the combination of intuitive eating and diabetes education is amazing. So Okay, let's transition for a second. So you were doing private practice, really successful, two businesses, wow, while raising your kids. And I'm assuming did you enjoy that, running two businesses? Was it really hard?
I did love it because I had one office here in Long Island, which is in New York, and then the other practice or the office was in Brooklyn. I had lived in Brooklyn for a couple of years after I was married, and so I established myself there. And I did enjoy it. It was very successful. But what I did not enjoy was being away from home so much because when I would go into Brooklyn, it was first started as one day a week, then it was 2 days a week. They would be very long hours, and I would come home very, very late and often wouldn't see my kids. And so, there's often life experiences, like I already shared, that kind of make you stop and say, do I need to make a change now? And in this situation right now, or at the time, it was when I went for a class. My second son, I have four children, so this is my second son. He was in kindergarten, and there was some play of some sorts we were going to, and I made my business to go there. And I was standing next to his teacher, and his teacher says, "Did you know that he has trouble with his phonics?" And I was like, "No, like, how am I supposed to know if you don't tell me? Like, what?" And he's in kindergarten. Now, mind you, he's 30 years old now. So, all those years ago, they learned so much more in kindergarten today than they did really when my kids were going, right? But I was like, "No, how am I supposed to know this?" And she made me feel so bad and so horrible as a mom. And I was like, "Okay, need to do something." So, I got him some tutoring. This was already April. I mean, school ends in June, right? I was like, "Okay, thanks for giving me some notice." And I got him some tutoring, and he was fine when he entered first grade in the fall. But I was like, "Gosh, Bonnie, you got to be around for your kids more." And the whole balance of work and family has always been a challenge for me. But it was at that point where I said, as successful as the office is in Brooklyn, I'm going to give it up. And I did. And I did. And I focused only on my office here in Long Island, and then just grew that into a more full-time here.
Wow, that's really hard. That's really, really, really hard.
Yeah.
Did you sell the practice in Brooklyn? I'm just curious. Is that how, or you just closed it
I
down?
did not. No, I probably could have, but I didn't. I did have some of those Brooklyn patients who followed me here. It's not such a long trip. So this was before like the virtual. So they did make the trip from Brooklyn to see me. So that was nice. But and then, I had doctors offering me, I had a lot of relationships with doctors, and they offered me space in their office. And I said, "No, it's not the space problem, So, but listen, it was what I had to do at the time, and I don't regret it at all.
I heard somebody say once that like being like mus or nefesh, like giving something up is like giving something up that's good for something even better. So I guess that's kind of what you did. And
Yeah,
it's really
so
hard.
many of my friends would say to me, "Bonnie, when the kids are older and they're out of the house, you can go back and open an office again in Brooklyn." I go, "I'm not going to want to do that. I'm going to want to live here. What are you
Totally. Totally. Okay, so then what happened that you were selling weight loss and then you weren't? So what happened?
Wow. So, I was selling weight loss, and what happened was my clients were successful. They were losing weight, but then they were calling me back. Couple months later, a year later, "Buddy, you need to come back. I need a new meal plan." I'm like, "Why? What's going on?" "I gained the weight back, da, da, da." And I was like, and then I was like, "Wait, something's off with this, right?" Like, because even though I would give them meal plans, air quotes, I never demonize foods. I always encourage them to eat their pizza, the cake, even though I'm not going to eat them. No. We want to learn how to eat it. We would do behavior modification and everything. And they were still gaining back. And that's when I said, "I need to look into this." And that's when I started hearing about the diet mentality and diet culture. And I was like, "Whoa," like hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, "This is exactly what's happening. My clients are taking a well-rounded eating pattern and creating it a diet with rules to follow. And if they went to a wedding or they went on a vacation, it's like, I don't know how to follow this if I'm not on, if I'm out of my, territory, so to speak." And that's when I said, I got to do it another way. The meal plan method, it just isn't working for sustainable results. And I was like, I had a lot of difficulty at first, like I said, but I don't know how to work with these clients if I'm not giving them meal plans. And that's when, I heard about intuitive eating and I ended up signing up and studying with Evelyn Tribbley to really learn about intuitive eating and how to apply it to my life as well as my clients. Now, I say my life because unbeknownst to myself, I was secretly dieting. And I was like, wait, what? What am I doing? Well, I realized after learning everything about intuitive eating and the diet mentality that, well, yeah, there were times where if my kids would give us, for an example, an anniversary cake, I'd be like, well, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? I was really restricting myself and suppressing my weight to be what I should look like as a registered dietitian. There was a lot of pressure and social situations. People would look at what I'm eating. So I realized, like, oh my God, I'm dieting. And I didn't even realize I was dieting. So once I learned under Evelyn and received the supervision, I said, well, I need to bring this into my life before I even bring it to my clients, which is what I did. And it was not easy at first, as I'm sure you can imagine. And you have the experience, right? It wasn't easy at first, simply because in the earlier stages, there was still talk about, well, you could still lose weight. Still lose weight. So I think it was like the first version of the book, there was more of that, achieve your healthy body or something like that. And so it was like I was on that fence. And then when I started teaching it to my clients, they were also on that fence. Okay, so I'm still going to lose weight following intuitive eating. I realized, listen, we're not really embracing intuitive eating for what it truly is if we're still focused on weight loss. So definitely that transition. And I'll tell you what my big aha moment was. So it was Friday night, and I was rushing like I always do on Friday. And I realized, oh my God, I didn't write down what I ate today because I used to track what I ate. I write down all the calories and everything. And I quickly turned to my young daughter and I said, Jen, hurry up, get my red little notebook and write down what I tell you, everything I ate, how many calories, add it up so I know what I can eat tonight. And as I said it, I like turned around real quick. I look at her in the eyes. Maybe she was 10 or 12 at the time, formidable age. And I was like, I said to myself, Bonnie, what are you doing? What are you doing? What message are you sending to her? And I quickly said to her, never mind. Never mind what I just said. And then later I had a talk with her about it. But that's when I realized, okay, Bonnie, take some steps back, right? Reassess everything. And then embracing intuitive eating for what it truly is. And it's been beautiful. And then I transitioned my entire practice, well, I'll say most of my practice into this intuitive eating practice. Now I say most because remember I said I'm a certified diabetes care and education specialist. So I still had a lot of diabetes patients. And I was still giving them meal plans because I had no idea how do I do this with diabetes, right? And at some point, I said, okay, I can't do this. Here I'm working with all these people to recover from dieting and counting and tracking and everything. But for my patients with diabetes, I'm not doing that. Like my brain could not manage that, right? And that's when, it's about continued learning. I sought out a mentor and I learned about weight neutral diabetes education. And that has been a game changer for me, a game changer. It changed the way I work with all of my patients now around nutrition therapy. And it's beautiful because now when people come to me with diabetes and I say to them, well, we're not focusing on weight loss to manage those blood sugars, they're like, wait, what? That's what I've been doing all my life that I need to do. And I was like, I understand that. But we're going to approach it from a different angle. We're not going to focus on weight. And honestly, like you can see their face light up. It's like, wow. Like a ton of bricks lifted off their shoulder. Like, wow, is that even possible? Thank you. Yeah. And so since that point in time, everything is from a weight neutral lens with the intuitive eating philosophy.
Wow. So how long ago was that?
Oof. Okay. So I will say that I took the training with Evelyn in 2011.
Okay,
Pretty
for
sure.
2024. So that's
Yeah.
like 13 years ago.
Right. But
Wow.
it wasn't for a couple of years after that, that I maybe 2 or 3 years ago after that, I'd have to go back and look, is when I really started to, bring it to all of the types of people that I work with, diabetes.
Yeah. That's fascinating. That's like so interesting for so on so many like levels. Like I said before we started recording that I've interviewed a lot of other intuitive eating dietitians, but your story is unique because you had this really successful practice as a weight loss dietitian and even as a diabetes educator, whatever the new words are now, I don't know. I think that people could really learn from your story because it takes a lot of guts to like change your whole practice, but it wasn't just your practice. It was what you were doing too. I guess you were following your own advice, like what you were giving your clients, even though in your head it wasn't dieting. It was like, what do they call it? Sensible meal planning, right? Sensible eating. And then when you had that moment with your daughter, like when you like recounted that story, I was a little bit cringing, even though I know I'm sure you were also cringing, and we all make mistakes, and I've done the same thing with my own children. But not I'm not like pointing fingers at you. It's more just like sad to recount how ingrained it is in our heads, even as dietitians and clinicians that were frantic. Like we talk about orthorexia now, and like that mental illness of always thinking about what you're eating, and so many people still struggling with orthorexia, even if it's not anorexia. And like when you, I can imagine myself doing the same thing, like frantically trying to figure out my food and what I'm going to eat. And like when you read the intuitive eating book, you're like, that's not healthy. But like, if that's not healthy, then what is healthy? So it's like, even though you could, I still struggle with that. This as a dietitian and an intuitive eating counselor, and I know a lot of my clients do also. It's like when you've been dieting for so long, it's such a framework to your eating. So even though it's not really serving you, and it's like messing you up, intuitive eating is so scary because there's much less structure. So, and then to transition your whole business model in a way is also like really, really, really scary. It must have been really hard.
It was really, really hard, and I questioned it a lot, but I also wanted to sleep at night, and I
Right.
also didn't want to, when I realized how damaging pushing weight loss is, I said, why am I doing that? That I
Yeah.
don't want, I wasn't happy.
Right.
I was not happy. I totally burned out
Yeah.
from, I used to sit at my desk and look at the chair opposite me, and I would have piled high these patient files, everyone who I had to do a meal plan for. And it occurred to me, how do I know how hungry they are at 12 o'clock in the
Right.
afternoon? How do
Right.
I even know if they're hungry at 12 o'clock? Why
Right.
am I giving specific rules like this?
Right.
Right? It's so harmful. Instead of empowering people that they can trust themselves to make these choices, that trust is something I work with my clients now because we know that the dieting has stripped them of that trust. So they don't believe in themselves, and that and like the fear is real. The fear, there's so many
Yes.
fears, right, that comes
Yes.
up, so many fears that come up with it. So it's really trying to bring back that trust and knowing that they can make these decisions for themselves by reconnecting back with their bodies, right?
Yeah, totally. I think that I often say that intuitive eating could lead to intuitive living, which I'm sure you've seen. And it's like a lot of times when I'm speaking to people who don't really know about intuitive eating, they're like, "Well, what does it have to do with nutrition?" I'm like, "It has everything to do with nutrition because nutrition is just one part of your health, and nutrition is supposed to be food is supposed to be joyous and fun, and it doesn't mean eat whatever you want whenever you want. It doesn't mean like just stuff yourself and lie on the couch. Like it doesn't mean that." But I do think I wonder what you think about this. Do you think there's something we could do as dietitians to better explain intuitive eating or something that why do you think people get so confused?
Well, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. There's just so much, and there's well, like the weight loss companies are hijacking intuitive eating and the
Right.
terminology, and so they're sending very flawed messages to people, and so people rely on social media to get their information.
Information, right?
Right now, there are certain social media accounts like yours and mine, which are accurate, but there are so many, unfortunately, that are not because they're kind of getting on the bandwagon, right? So I think that we have to just keep shouting from the rooftops and sending out the message. But there's a lot of noise out there, and people have to really do their due diligence and, don't just take things that people say, at face. I like dig in and really try and understand.
And since you've been doing intuitive eating and doing it with your clients, would you say your life totally changed? And like what's like maybe you could share a story from a client that was a weight loss client and now is an intuitive eating client or something. Like it doesn't have to be one specific person, but what have you like learned from that whole journey?
Well, when you say that, it brings to mind my very first client that I took through the intuitive eating journey, and she had been a weight loss client with me, and she had lost a lot of weight. Let's just leave it at that. And she started regaining weight because she had a change in her life. In her early 60s, she met a man for the first time and was dating and going to get married because she had been a prime caretaker all her life for her mom and never gave time for herself. And now she was eating out and she was doing all these things and she was starting to regain weight. So I was very close with her because we worked together for a long time. And I said to her, I'm learning something new about intuitive eating. I'm incorporating it into my life. Well, what is that? I started to explain it. She goes, okay. Quote unquote, do it with me, right? So I was like, well, maybe you want me to finish the learning first. She goes, no. And literally after the first session, she says to me, wow, this is different. The ball is now in my court versus you telling me what to do, et cetera. She goes, wow, it was really a transformative experience for her over the next many months that we worked together.
Wow, that's such a good story because I have goosebumps because like that's really like I wish I need to like distill that into something like think about it more, but it's like it's really giving a client their life back, like you said before, diabetes clients who would come to you and you would say like, oh wait, this isn't about weight loss, and you said like a ton of bricks was lifted off their shoulders because they've probably been so shamed, and I still hear this all the time in 2024 that like, well, it's their fault they have diabetes if they didn't eat so much sugar, you know, even though that makes no sense, but it's just so sad because like it's sad, it's amazing what we do, but it's still like I still reflect on like my clients' lives, all those years that they spent dieting and really hurting themselves and everybody reinforcing that around them. And it's like, I mean, yeah, that's why we do what we do, right? Like, that's why we are trying really hard to shout from the rooftops that like there is another way. And, but there's still, I still find a lot of resistance, but we still have to keep trying, you know?
Absolutely. And people will be ready when they're ready. Like it reminds me of this other woman who was a weight loss client again for in my early years. And she lost weight. And I remember her husband even emailing me and saying, wow, thank you so much for helping her. And this is the first time she's really been successful in, success is measured by weight loss, clearly, and in that approach. And then over time she started regaining and she would reach out to me and I said, let me share about this new philosophy that I've learned. It's intuitive eating. And no, I'm not ready for it. No, I'm not ready for it. And it was multiple conversations we've had where she wasn't ready for it. And then all of a sudden, she was ready for it.
Yeah, you're right.
So people come around. And so work together through my intuitive eating program, and she flourished and she had so much freedom and she was enjoying her life. Because what we know is that what you learn within the intuitive eating framework positively ripples into other areas of your life and relationships. And she was experiencing that. And then about a year ago, or a little less than a year ago, she reached back out and she has diabetes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. She has prediabetes and she didn't want to end up with diabetes. So she goes, so how do we do this intuitive eating and diabetes thing? Because now I'm worried about my carbs. And I was like, it's okay. We can do it. We can do it. And she worked with me for a couple months and we worked through that process as well. And she just reached out to me last week asking me to come speak to her local temple to talk a little bit about intuitive eating.
That's
So.
amazing. Yeah, so just keep spreading that message. And just a funny question. Do you ever get like really weird comments like when you're eating in public, like, oh, is that intuitive? Or like just like weird dietitian intuitive eating comments?
really about intuitive eating. No, I mean the comments that I've gotten over the years, and even still till today, because people don't necessarily understand the intuitive thing, I would say. They would be like, "Oh, don't look what I'm eating." I'm like, "I don't really care what you're eating. Enjoy. Like, it's okay." Or you'd get the comments. I mean, listen, I'm in this. I'm here. I've been in this business a long time. We said, so I've got stories for you, but I've been at like weddings, for example, and I'll never forget. We're at the table, the dessert comes out, and it was some chocolate something or other, and I decided, oh, I want to. I'm not a lover of chocolate, but it looked good. I was like, I'm gonna have some. I want to. My friend announces, Bonnie's eating the chocolate dessert. I was like, ah, well, I very politely asked her to keep her eyes on her own plate.
Good, good, good for you.
You have to know the people that you're dealing with, right? Sometimes, but I totally get comments, but I've learned to navigate them over the years. So it depends what mood I'm in. Sometimes I'll navigate it with a little sarcasm, sometimes from an educational standpoint, but I'm always protecting, my space.
One of my supervisors just told me, because I was talking to her about like Shabbos meals and when we have Shabbos guests, and then it comes up that I'm a dietitian and intuitive eating and blah 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 blah. And like I'm not like really in the mood to be working. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm like, you have to hear. She's like, you know what I tell them? I tell them, people pay me a lot of money to talk about this if you want to sign up. I'm like, I like that. That's good. Okay, so let's I'm gonna wrap up, but I want you to share how people could access you. Could they book a session with you? Do you have any products on your websites that they could either get for free or purchase?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So my website, all about my intuitive eating work, is at dietfreeradiantme.com. So people can kind of go there and check it out. I don't know if your followers are on Facebook at all, but I do a lot of posting on Facebook, so you can follow me at Bonnie R. Giller. I do have a free download I'm happy to offer your listeners, 6 steps to a body you love without dieting. Takes people through 6 steps of the work that I do with clients. So I'll share the link and you can share it with your audience. And if anybody is interested in booking a clarity call with me, I'm happy to offer you up that link as well. And people could reach out and just hear what I have to say and, see where you're at in your journey and what your next steps might be. So.
Okay, thank you for sharing your story. I really, really, really enjoyed it, and it was inspiring to me, especially as a dietitian and also a recovering dieter. So
Yes. My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
sure. Have a great day.
You
Bye.
too. Bye-bye.
Thank you all so much for being here on my podcast, Get Into It with Gila. If you'd like to learn more about what I do and what intuitive eating is, please visit my website at www.gilaglassberg.com or follow me on Instagram at Gila Glassberg. Thank you so much. Have a great day.